I've missed you for a couple of days lately, and wanted to let you know why. Just to get straight to it, as of last Thursday, May 14th, my lawyer Bill Richman and I have filed a notice of a lawsuit against YouTube and are seeking an injunction to prevent them, to stop them from currently deplatforming us. I want to be really clear, this is different from claims and counterclaims or people thinking that their content is being throttled. We've officially sent a notice of a lawsuit. Very different level. This is the big one. Boys and girls, NZs, my lawyer, Bill Richman, here to explain. How are you, sir?
Great. Glad to be here. Wish it was under better circumstances, but here we are. We're at a completely different level. I mean, folks know about the history that we've had with YouTube, and I think it behooves us to go through some of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, at this point, the various folks who are in YouTube's ears, whether it's advertisers, third parties, other media sites, competitors, if you will, are trying to get YouTube to do something that it shouldn't be doing, which is enforce its policies in the wrong way. And we've seen an incredible pattern of that over the last 60 days that is unlike anything we've ever seen in the past.
Yeah, and really quickly, just so you know, for people out there, you want to know where you can follow us. I'm on Instagram. I am, of course, on Twitter. This show is still going to be available, just not on YouTube. Of course, you have the full show at Mug Club. It's always available if you're a paying Mug Club member. But the free portion of the show is available, the audio version, on Apple, on Android, on Spotify. And for the remainder of the suspension, we will be streaming the video portion on Rumble for the first time. So you can go and watch it there. Again, there's still more 40 minutes, as always, on Mug Club for the wonderful members, and we take your chats. Can you explain, though, for people maybe watching? Because sometimes the waters get muddied. There's a lot of social media drama. This is different. This is not that.
No, it's completely different. Now, I know folks who have been following along will know what has happened over the last couple of months, right?
Right.
We had not even so far back as to go to Vox Apocalypse, but just in the most recent period of time after our remonetization last fall, being successful on that front, having a record-setting election stream, I mean, blowing mainstream media out of the water, all of that. Now we come back into the new year. There's a different president. There's a different control in the Capitol building. And now YouTube feels like it's going to be doing different policy enforcement.
Yeah, and to be clear, first off, we were demonetized in the new year. Then we had a hard strike that didn't count as a hard strike, but was like a warning hard strike.
Right.
Then we had an actual hard strike, and we just had a second hard strike on our channel. So we'll go through what all those are, and the most recent one is absurd. Admittedly, it's not even a violation in and of itself of any policy. We'll tell you exactly what it is, but we're genuinely concerned. We believe that YouTube right now is looking for other content where new rules can effectively be created or reinterpreted so that we are removed forever. So demonetization, two hard strikes, and that's why you've filed notice of lawsuit and a legal injunction.
Correct. So when we had that first kind of warning strike earlier this year, a couple of months ago, that was related to a COVID policy that mm-hmm. they are saying, oh, you're not allowed to talk about certain things. Well,
right.
our team is very familiar with what the policy is. We're looking at what the policy is, talking about things that are in compliance with the policy, and being able to go out there and give statistics that are the scientific community's conclusion.
Can I give that specific example?
Sure.
We have it. Yeah. It was March 18th, our COVID anniversary special, 1 year to celebrate, 15 days to flatten the curve. Hey, remember when we thought COVID lived on surfaces and we were spraying down all the packages here that were coming into the office? You do the best with what you have. And it was the strike was, or warning strike, was for medical misinformation because someone on this program, I'm not going to say who, said that young children are more likely to die of the flu, the standard flu, than COVID, which is a scientifically verifiable fact according to the CDC. That was the first one.
And during that entire time, of course, we're providing both sides of the story, giving all of the information.
The source was the CDC.
Right.
But the source at Ladder was kind of, it was the CDC in World Health
Organization. We had the CDC ahead, and then we had the CDC currently. We had other sources. We literally had the WHO talking about
right.
how what their policies were, what they believed in the past. And of course, you know, normally the scientific method is examine, look at both sides, come to a conclusion. Here, no longer allowed to do that. Apparently.
Yeah. And I want to be clear here, too, because a lot of people, you know, I understand sometimes you have these martyr complexes from conservatives and they, you know, they victimize themselves. Look, this is a very main, it's not only a mainstream view. I want to be clear. If YouTube were to hit this third strike in rapid succession, get rid of this show, this channel, it's to say that none of these points of view are welcome here. These are mainstream points of view. And by the way, this is a scientific fact from the CDC. This is not, hey, you're mean. This is not, hey, this is inappropriate. This is exclusion. It is tantamount to saying that no conservatives or people who cite the CDC and believe that relevant information, like young children have a different immune response to COVID than the standard flu, and it is significantly less lethal to young people, but more lethal to old people, which we've always talked about, YouTube is saying anyone with that point of view is not welcome on this channel. On this platform, I guess.
So, and what they're saying is that the hardest part about all this is that it wasn't a violation, right? If they had come out and expressly said, no, you're not allowed to talk about this topic at all, right? They said, no, you're supposed to do it and you got to give equal weight to both sides of the story, which is what we did. We presented actually more counter sources than actual sources that was supporting the conclusion that we were looking at in that particular episode. Right. So then...
And you know, too, for people who don't know, that's how we... I mean, Quarter Black Garrett knows, that's how we build this show. Anyone who actually goes on a daily basis, we provide our sources at louderwithcredit.com. Unless it's an exclusive video, you'll almost never see a conservative source. You'll see New York Times, you'll see CDC, you'll see PubMed. Not saying that they're either completely unbiased original sources, or sometimes we'll actually have to use references to books because you can't find it on Google, like an old school bibliography, or left-leaning sources like New York Times and Washington Post. That's how we build the show. We shouldn't have to, but we do, just because we know of the optics.
So after that, after the COVID hard strike, of course, as per our usual, going through the policies, making sure we're doing everything we can to go through it, and we end up getting what was considered the non-warning first hard strike. And that first hard strike was an allegation out of the three Nevada videos that we had that there was some portion of that that argued a violation of the policy, saying that the presidential election was overturned or that the presidential election should be overturned, when in reality that wasn't the statement that was made.
And again, to be clear, that first hard strike, and I still don't fully understand why the other, it was a strike, but this is the strike, was March 29th, our episode about Christina Gapana and the Nevada voter rolls. Let me ask you really quickly. There's a policy on YouTube. Did I claim that the election needed to be overturned?
No, not at all.
Did we claim that Donald Trump won the election?
No.
Did we say that there was a massive conspiracy that involved the ghost of Hugo Chavez rigging Dominion voting machines?
No. And on top of it, all you did was went out and presented facts. You went in and found information. People called out, said, oh, hey, we think that there's a factual discrepancy. Wasn't the case.
Yeah.
What it comes down to is the thing that they identified as the alleged violation isn't a violation of their policy. So then they had to try and say it was a different policy. And, and here we are again with them having not taken that strike down. And that's what sets us up for the strike that we're now dealing
with. Well, it's investigative journalism. Seems like it's can be a violation of policy. If someone doesn't like it, that's the issue, right? When you meet that standard of 100% verifiable, you sit there and you do the due diligence and you still don't know what the policy is. That's a problem. It's the difficulty here is, and you know this, people out there who want to get started and you know, you want to create a business, when the terms keep changing, there are 12 to 15 people in any given moment employed here. And we don't know what the policies are. We still don't understand them.
And no one does. None of the creators really know it. And that's what ultimately is at the heart of this question is YouTube's policies, the clarity or lack thereof, and how they enforce them against certain folks, or when they're pressured by third parties to take action against a certain show or a certain talent versus others.
What are you implying?
I'm implying that no one likes Garrett.
Well, that's clear. He has no home. The next strike that just came, and this is the reason for us notifying YouTube of a lawsuit and filing the injunction, which you can explain the legalese behind an injunction, May 10th, and the strike, can I explain it or do you want to explain it?
No, go ahead.
Okay. This strike was the video where, and I still don't apologize for this point of view, and not only do I not apologize, most Americans agree with this point of view, and most Black Americans agree with this point of view, which we also pointed out, was in support of the officer in Columbus, Ohio, who protected the young Black girl who was being stabbed by Mekhi Bryant. And I said, not only do I think this was an example of a justified police shooting, I think it's necessary to save the life of someone who is in the process of being stabbed. That was considered, we praised a police officer for stopping someone from being stabbed.
I think you also praised the victim for not being stabbed.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we forget about her, though.
She apparently is not very important.
The female of color victim up against the car who is about to, I can't believe that the cop responded that quickly. And I still am amazed by it. And I think we've talked about this on the show. We have people like Dave who obviously have different opinions even on Chauvin. This was one that was unilaterally agreed upon. Well, yeah, cops' job, their job is to stop people from being stabbed. What did they claim was the violation there?
reveling or mocking in the death or serious injury of an identified individual. And so, again, without any clarity or pointing to the timestamp or the specific quotes or whatever was actually happening on the show, that is the only notice that we were given that this was a violation, that something about praising the officer for quickly acting to save the life of a young woman, unfortunately at the expense of another woman's life, was somehow something that could not be talked about. And what's incredible about all of this is they've cited the harassment policy, which includes within it an exception for comedy. It includes an exception for satire, for jokes, for skits, for those types of things. And this is a comedy show. Right. So certainly we're addressing issues on the show that are timely, contemporary, important things, hot button issues, and doing them at times like some other mainstream shows that happen to do this all the time on the mainstream networks.
Right.
And yet in this particular time with these particular opinions, praising the victim for not getting stabbed and praising the officer for preventing the stabbing.
Yeah.
Is a violation.
Right. Yeah, that's a violation for reveling in the death, which I wonder if you go back, you know, when Osama bin Laden died, I uploaded a video and it was just a video of Osama bin Laden from hell. And I remember because I used a silicone adhesive for my beard, but at the time I had a crappy beard and I didn't know you had to shave.
Oh.
And it ruined my pillowcase. I had a dinosaur pillowcase, I swear to you, that I had from childhood because I couldn't get the Osama beard. And it was just a video. Immediately after Osama bin Laden died, like, and it was at this point it was American Idol Casey, and I was going, can someone tell me what happened to Casey on American Idol? It was silly, but that certainly would be more exemplary of reveling in the death. And I will tell you this: I'm glad that Osama bin Laden was dead. But yeah, you're talking about.
I'm glad you haven't changed your opinion on that. I'm not sure about others.
I'm not afraid to take the unpopular stances, Mr. Richmond. I think this is important too because you talked about it in a timely manner. And some people try to say with this one, like, well, you know, you were too rough around the edges. Look, at the time that we even did this segment, keep in mind the media, and this was the number one trend on Twitter and on Facebook, and this is why I say citizen journalism is, or investigative journalism, may be dead. And this has nothing to do with us. It has to do with anyone who shares this point of view, because Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, they allowed. And there were thumbnails and there were videos saying, this police officer in Columbus, Ohio, shot a 16-year-old girl who called the police to help her, and the police showed up and shot her point blank. And that she didn't have, this was going on to the point that LeBron James said, you're next. And I said, no, this is not what happened. And we were one of the first, because it's a morning show, we were one of the first people to this to get some of this information. I said, this is not what happened. She did not call the police officer. This was a 235-pound girl with a knife in her hand about to swing full force against another girl of color who likely was the person who called the police. And the police said, get down, drop the knife, and shot her. Keep in mind that if this is, and it is removed, that means that the lie is allowed and the truth is not. Because the truth is simply from a point of view which is impermissible. By the way, a view that over 80% of Black Americans share, that they want at least as much of a police presence that exists right now in their neighborhoods, if not more.
It's an incredible indictment of how YouTube enforces its policies, and really the reason why we've had to give the notice, serve the notice of moving for an injunction to seek relief to prevent the deplatforming. The concern is that we believe that YouTube is actively looking for new videos. Once we get out of this two-week ban and we get out of that suspension and are able to put videos up again, the concern is that they will be looking for violations that were not actually violations.
Right.
That they will be, again, given this pattern of taking policies, stretching them beyond any reasonable reading of the policy, and then acting on those policies to the detriment of the show and its ability to upload or get to the audience because of a criticism about their opinions that, again, is not actually a violation of their policies. That's the concern that we have, that we simply won't be around. The voice will be completely extinguished, which is why we've moved forward with this injunctive notice, and things are going to be moving quick.
And can you tell people what that means? So we've this injunctive notice, what it means.
So sure, a lawsuit is one that says, hey, we think that these things were done wrong and we're seeking damages or a certain kind of relief. Do this or don't do that. The injunction says we need that relief now.
Right.
We're very worried about what's going to happen. So we can't wait years or, you know, years and years that may happen before the end of a lawsuit or before any meaningful things happen within a lawsuit. We need that relief now to protect what's happening right now, protect the existence of the show on the YouTube platform. And there's a lot of individuals. We've seen other platforms that have taken very extreme measures. And in the past, YouTube has done a better job than some other platforms, not a good job,
right?
A better job at realizing, wait a minute, these policies are not that clear. We shouldn't be just throwing out strikes and throwing out creators.
Yeah.
But here now, for whatever reason, whether it's because of the makeup of mainstream media, whether it's the makeup of the government of Washington, D.C., or what they fear about what's coming down the pike in terms of laws, both in Florida and Texas, they have decided that they're going to go ahead and misshoot with their policies, misapply them in an unjust way. And we have to take this injunctive relief action very quickly.
Yeah, we really do have to. And I've talked about this before. You know, obviously, people can join up and support at Mug Club, and you get more content, and you get exclusive kind of chatting ability. And if we didn't care about reaching other people, you know, we could go and do that, and we'd still probably be able to employ people, but we lose our ability to reach new people. And what do I mean by that? What's important for me to reach? Well, to reach that kid who maybe feels alone, who's afraid to speak up in class because he's pro-life, or because he believes in the Second Amendment, or because his dad is a cop. Take it a step further. Concerned about the next Steven Crowder, you know, starting with a blue bed sheet in his den in 2008, coming up and saying, well, I don't have a chance because there's no way to navigate these policies. This really isn't just about us. We can find ways to make sure that we can broadcast to you. But if the world's most powerful company, arguably, when you look at YouTube, Google, Alphabet, and they make sure that they ghost you where people cannot find not us, but the point of view. In other words, at that same point in time where we're talking specifically about the Columbus issue, you can go to Stephen Colbert, you can go to CNN, you can go to all these other, they're uploading at that time with information that we know to be incorrect. Not saying a lie, saying maybe they were wrong, but to not allow half the country, half the world ever to correct those mistruths under some misguided and frankly not outlined policy, that's why the last thing I want to be doing is doing a lawsuit with Google and YouTube, for crying out loud. They could squash my nuts into oblivion. And then I have, you know, we still have Mug Club.
I mean, my gosh, I could take Gerald's spot if we weren't having to do all this legal work.
I
know. But here's the reality and why it should concern everyone. And when you're talking with friends, you know, whether they're on the left or in the center or the right, or they're not sure where they are politically, this is something that concerns every person who values any type of democracy, a republic, the Constitution, because what they're saying is these ideas are so dangerous that we can't address them and rebut them. We can't criticize them. We just have to extinguish the opinions entirely. We have to eradicate these opinions from the planet because we can't deal with them. But the reality when everyone looks at this is a comedy show that takes on important issues. Commentary, politics, issues that are facing everyone in every part of the nation and the world, and we have to be able to talk about them.
Yeah.
And if the opinions are not opinions that other people share, that's why you have them. Every fan that I know of yours, every person that I know personally, listens to other points of view as well and puts them together. But imagine what things will look like if they just take the points they don't like away.
And I want to be really, we're going to start this segment on the show called Deals I Would Make Today. Deals that I would take today. I have never, ever once advocated for someone else to be removed, deplatformed, no matter how much I disagree with their opinion, barring actual breaking of the law, meaning calls to violence, right? This is the law. You won't find it. I want what I would allege, misinformation out there that people are putting up that I believe needs to be corrected so that I can do that so people can contrast it. I want voices of opposition everywhere. I don't want anybody removed. And if we were to just say, hey, look, views left, right, as offensive as they may be, everything is allowed, which is under the guise of what a platform like this is supposed to be, great. I'll make that deal tomorrow. The issue is that's not what is happening. How will you be updating people? Because this is pretty
valid. We'll be making sure to update folks through press releases on louderwithcrowder.com to the extent necessary when videos are doing. I know we're having to, you know, do different things to be able to get the message out, whether it's Instagram or Twitter. But when things are known, the show will be getting them out so people will be able to find those
right.
As we move along. As folks are aware, the legal process, there's a lot of different things that go into it, and we're trying to do this exactly the right way. We're going to participate in the system like all true Americans should, and get to a just result, which is preventing this atrocity.
Yeah. Good word. Good use of atrocity. So yes, you can obviously follow me on Twitter, on Instagram. The show, which we will still be doing, will be available on audio. A lot of people don't know it's available on audio because it's kind of a video-centric show, but that's if you're on Apple, Android, Spotify, Listen, we don't want to lose touch with you, so don't lose touch with us, and we will likely be streaming as long as we can do shows. I'll be traveling, and depending on what's going on legally behind the scenes, still be streaming show, doing content over there at Rumble as well. Look, this is one thing I was just thinking about the other day. I've been reading on ancient Rome a lot. Not a big fan of Caligula, by the way. Again, unpopular stance. But if you look at the Roman Empire, right, when you think of some of the most powerful entities that have ever existed, and you look at the Roman Empire, and you actually it's tiny. When you actually look on a map, you're like, well, that's really not what I thought it was. Now, imagine an empire that controlled information around the whole globe to the tune of, depending which numbers you're using, 70 to 90%, certainly as far as search traffic and certainly as far as video traffic. YouTube is the number one traffic multimedia site. It's not even close. And right now, every one of you who believes that, you know what, there's some good police out there. You know what? I think that we should have some kind of whatever it is, a heartbeat bill. You know what? I think that COVID is, for some reason, medically, according to the CDC, less lethal to young people, more lethal to old people than the standard flu. You know what? I think that we should probably have voter ID. All of these views. Now, picture an entity as powerful as the Roman Empire times 50. And Caesar's saying, all of you, that's about where we are, and that's why we're fighting it. Fighting like hell. Of course, figuratively. We'll see you here tomorrow doing more shows.